that because of the specific thing, the particular thing that God has done for us, but because of who God is. I guess I'm not going to do it in a double way before she preaches on the same, but that song has so much meaning to me, and I thought it fits so well into the text that I would join in this morning and lifting up my voice and singing. I want to say that text, God in these difficult times. God in these difficult times. Let us pray. Almighty God, we just thank you for this experience, to be able to share your word with people far and near. I thank you for the members of the choir who sung. I thank you for the prayer. I thank you for the reading of your Holy Scripture. But now comes the preaching moment. So God, search me, and because I'm human, because I'm a sinner saved by grace, whatever is destructive in me right now, I just ask you, Lord, to remove it, no matter how painful it might be. Give me that clarity of sight, mind, and speech, because people need a clear word this morning, not mixed messages, not sarcasm, but a word from God. Then, O Lord, give me the strength. Because you've done it before, I'm going to stand on your promises, and I know you'll do it one more time. This prayer I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God, in these difficult times. Yes, we're in difficult times this morning. Times when we are dealing with an invisible enemy. An enemy that the $738 billion we spend per year on defense can't protect us. Yeah, $478 billion. And those airplanes, those ships, those missiles, those guns, no matter those things, they can't protect us. And just think, if some of that money had been spent on preparing for this virus, think if some of this money was spent on research. Or think if some of this money was spent on the homeless that many don't want to talk about. Well, I'm not being political. I'm talking public policy this morning. But too many lives have been taken too soon. And for the sake of the economy that had to be protected at all costs, protected because of the love of money. Yes, that's what the Bible says, the love of money. We did any and everything to save it, but nothing was a match for our invisible enemy. I must say, however, this morning and ask the question, how many of us who call ourselves Christians are reading our Bibles? Reading our Bibles to see how God responded before in like situations. For in so many instances, even with the advances in technology, God continues to move in several ways, but God is in control. And God has a way of bringing pandemics and plagues to an end. And are you not just reading your Bible, but calling on God in prayer? Not just saying to somebody, I'm praying for you, and then walk on down the street. Now you need to pray right then. Not a lay me down to sleep prayer. Not even repeating the Lord's prayer without knowing what you're saying. But we ask God to forgive our sins the way we forgive others. Oh, y'all, somebody missed that. We ask God to forgive our sins the way we forgive others. See, somebody gonna stop praying that prayer. Or when they get to that verse, they're gonna just say, Lord, forgive me. It's just that I feel that's not gonna be enough. For I believe God wants us to forgive others just like God forgave us. And if we do pray, how many of us have that hang up that you can't question God? And I know a lot of us learned that right up in church. See, that's why it's so important to read the Bible. For in the very first book, I'm talking about Genesis. Most people, when they pick up a book, they at least read the first part. In Genesis, we find Abraham. Abraham, the father of the faith. Abraham, whom God told to get up and go. Abraham got up and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. Yet when God got ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham questioned God. And those said, well, you know, Abraham, he's a biblical character. Abraham was just like you and me. In fact, Abraham might have been worse. It's just that Abraham trusted in God and allowed God to use him. You have a problem with the way God is handling this virus or any other thing, question God, and the God I serve can handle it. And then there are those who pray, you know, those nice prayers. Those prayers where we aren't honest with God. When God knows our every emotion, God knows what you're going to say before you say it. And see, that's the thing I like about the psalm. For the psalmist tells things to God just as they are. In the good times and the bad times. Oh, there are all types of psalms. Psalms of praise. Psalms of thanksgiving. Psalms of lament. That's when you're in sorrow and grief. Because sorrow and grief are nothing new. And if sorrow and grief have not come your way, just keep on getting up in the morning and they will come. When you need one, Psalm 7, Psalm 13, Psalm 117, and Psalm 120 are psalms of praise. And then there are cursing psalms. Oh yeah, I said it. Psalms where the psalmist asks God to take people's lives. Oh, there's psalms like Psalm 107, and 109 and 137 fall into that category. See, we often try to hide the ugly sides of our fear, thinking we can't expose them to God. Well, God already knows your deepest and ugliest emotions. See, we need to be like the psalmist who trusted God enough to express their most violent and unjust feelings in the presence of Almighty God. In fact, that's the only way God can straighten us out. Oh, every morning I read three psalms. Psalm number 3, trust in God under adversity. Oh, I could have preached that this morning, but we're in a time of adversity. Psalm 27, a triumphant song of confidence, because even with all of my adversity, the Lord has made me triumphant. And I read Psalm 30, thanksgiving for recovery from grave illness. For I can't tell you how many times God has raised me up from my sickbed. Psalm 116 is a psalm of thanksgiving for recovery from illness. And even though God does not always heal on this side, God does all things well because God is in control. And we need to give God a praise in advance right now, so we know that God will bring this pandemic to an end. And I know it, and I believe it would happen if we would just call on God. God is waiting this morning, waiting for us to call. Just like God did with the children of Israel, for God told Moses, I heard their cry, and I have to believe if we truly call, God would answer. And the psalmist has the same thing to say about God. I love the Lord because he heard my request for mercy. See, in order to have your request be heard, you put it on for you to receive mercy, you have to call on God and ask God with all of your people, with all of yourself. See, how many of the people are looking for some mercy to show, for God to show up? See, you have to call on God if you want some of God's mercy. And it doesn't, don't think that your call doesn't matter. God hears the big, God hears the small, God hears the saint, and God hears the sinner. God hears the just, and God hears the unjust. It is just that we have to call on God. Listen how far the psalmist goes when it comes to calling on God. He said, I call out to God as long as I live. That's a real good theology. Because as long as you're on this side, things will happen in your life. If you got good sense this morning, call on God. Good help today. You might need to call on God in the morning. Finances in order. The stock market might have you needing to call on God in a few days. The psalmist must have been in real bad shape. But in really bad shape, even an atheist will call on God. But somebody has heard an atheist say, help me, Lord. Lord, have mercy. See, I know what the psalmist is talking about. But death grows half bound. I heard the physician tell my mother, there's nothing else I can do for your son. He told my mother to pray. And not only did she call on God, I called on God for myself. And that's why 65 years later, not only do I still call on the Lord, but because when I called on the Lord, I told God that I would preach God's word. I'm standing in this pulpit this morning as a testament to what God will do. See, not only will death grow around you, the distress of the grave will bind you both physically and spiritually. It will cause you to face trouble. It would cause you to face grief. See, I can preach this thing this morning because I know what I'm talking about. See, as the number of deaths of COVID-19 mount, don't let the numbers numb you. Don't let crazy political rhetoric that is against science cause you to do stupid things like drinking some Lysol. In difficult times like these, in fact, whenever a difficult situation comes onto your life, call on the name of the Lord and say, Lord, please save me. We need to say that again. Come on over here. Say, Lord, please save me. And if you ever done that, or if you ever knew need to say that, and God saved you, tell somebody about the goodness of God. See, tell somebody who needs the goodness of God. Don't keep it all for yourself. There's plenty to go around. Listen to how the psalmist describes God. And notice, nothing the psalmist describes is physical. It's all about the character of God. And that's what God wants to get right with us. Our character. The Lord is merciful and righteous. Our God is compassionate. See, somebody needs to thank God for God's mercy. Somebody needs to thank God for being compassionate. And the next line, I love it so. The Lord protects simple people. Another version says, ordinary folk. And another version says, helpless folk. And see, that's good news for me this morning. That's good news for somebody else. That's good news for somebody who doesn't even know it. For in the eyes of many, I'm simple because from all of my education, I embrace this man named Jesus. But see, they don't know what the Lord has done for me. And because they don't know, they're the simple ones this way. Oh, most of us are ordinary. Some of us are helpless. But the Lord still protects us. And no matter how many times we are brought down, the Lord saves us and he lifts us back up. Some of us have been brought down in the world and the Lord has lifted us up. Some of us have been brought down right in God's house. I know what I'm talking about, but God picked me up. God turned me around and God placed my feet and a few more folk in here on some side. And then no matter what others could do to me, God gives me peace. And you know, peace is not just the absence of conflict. Peace is something on the inside. Something on the inside that gives us the knowledge and the understanding. Knowledge and understanding to keep oneself strong in the face of discord or stress. I think I need to say that. Knowledge and understanding to keep oneself strong. Stop falling apart when things happen. Strong in the face of the storm or stress. And the right of hands, you and I should have peace because God has been so good to us. Even if God doesn't deliver us from physical death, God has already delivered us from the death that cannot be spiritual death. Oh, that's a death I don't want anybody to experience. God has removed the tears from my eyes. God has kept my feet from stumbling. Even though my haters tried to trip me up, God has done good things for you. And God has done so many good things for me. Things we take for granted, like waking up in this morning. Clothes on our back, food on the table. See, even in times like these, when we've lost friends and loved ones, in times like these, when many have lost their jobs, in times like these, because of our rural location or urban areas where there are food deserts, when we get to the meat counter, all the meat is gone. There ain't even no toilet paper or towels. However, be that as it may, we make it because we serve a God that takes care of us, a God who watches over us, and a God who provides us. And if that is the case, and we believe what we say, what is our response to God's goodness? In fact, that's exactly what the psalmist says in verse 12. What can I give back to the Lord for all of the good things that the Lord has done for me? See, somebody said, well, what is this? Give back to the Lord. I work for everything I have. If I give, you know, I'm just giving because I want to give to the church. You know, I like the way the choir sing. I like the way the preachers. They get me out there an hour. I don't have to stay long. That's why I give. Well, see, the thing is, you might have worked for everything you got, but the brain you have to figure things out with. God gave me that brain. If you do physical work, the body that you use to do that work, God gave it to you. That food that is on the table, you might have paid others for it, but it all comes from God. The air you breathe, it's from God. The water you drink, it's from God. Man didn't make it, God did it. In fact, all the things we manufacture, the coal, the oil, and the wood that we burn, everything, I said everything, it comes from Almighty God. And that's why I say, that's why the psalmist says, I will give back to the Lord. But think about it, if God just sucked up all of the air, what do you think would happen to us? But because God is so good, I have remained faithful, even when it says I'm suffering so badly. See, I know some people think pastors got it made, but we got the same bill that you have. We have the same heartache that you have. Sickness comes into our bodies just like yours. And because some of us try to follow the example of Jesus and put others before ourselves, even though we come up here on Sunday morning with a smile on our face and talk about the goodness of the Lord, we've suffered badly just like others. But in spite of that, just like many of you, we lift up the cup of salvation for redemption. Oh, see, I just can't leave it there. I got to tell you what that means. Because, see, the psalmist is Jewish just like Jesus. Jesus celebrated Passover just like the psalmist. And at the Passover meal, which we refer to as the Last Supper, there were four cups. I know we just had one cup, but actually we got two here. one alcoholic, one non-alcoholic. You're trying to be historic and correct, but you're trying to realize, you know, you don't want to mess anybody up. And I'll let you know that before you take communion. But there were four cups. The first cup is the cup of holiness, because the Lord said in Exodus, I will bring you out of an unholy place. The second cup is a cup of praise, because the Lord said, I will take you to a better place. The third cup is a cup of redemption, because the Lord said, I will redeem you from your captives. And the fourth cup is a cup of acceptance, for the Lord said, I will make you my people. We might need to lift that up here and time to take communion in here, because I want to be accepted. I want to be one of God's people. See, there's good news in all four cups. But the third cup, Jesus says, that's the cup many of us cannot drink from. The servant lifted up the cup, but Jesus drank from the cup. And because Jesus did, he saved our soul. He made us whole. Did you see why the servant said that he would lift up that cup? They keep lifting up that cup and calling on the Lord's name. And because the Lord has freed us, removed those chains from our bodies and our souls, the servant said, I will offer myself, my whole being, as a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord. See, when we give, it's a whole lot of things we could be doing with that money, but we need to sacrifice. The whole lot of things that need to be done in the church that don't involve money. And if we got time to go everywhere else, we need to sacrifice to serve. See, when we need to spread the good news, the question of Solomon asked the question, what can I do? We need to sacrifice that some folks might look at us like we crazy. Say they won't, don't want to be bothered with us anymore. But we need to sacrifice and tell somebody about the good news of Jesus. And then keep those promises. The promises you made to God. A God who sees all. A God who knows all. The promises you made in the presence of God's people when you gave your life to the Lord and when you went down in the water to be baptized. Give back to the Lord. Lift up the cup of salvation so that many may receive it. Make yourself a living sacrifice by giving your entire being to God. But even in these difficult times, when nobody knows where to turn, when we don't know what to expect even this evening, but in spite of all of that, the Lord has still been good. And in addition to all the things I've talked about, God did step down from glory. God did put on human flesh. Jesus, God in human flesh, climbed up Calvary's hill. Jesus suffered and died for all of our sins. And because that sacrifice was acceptable, I said, God got Jesus up. And a place has prepared for us in glory. Call on the Lord when you get in glory. But make sure you call on the Lord on this side. Call on the Lord about COVID-19. Call on the Lord about bad public policy. Call on the Lord about all of the bad things so many of us have had to do, solely for the reason that our skin has been kissed by the sun. Call on the Lord when people talk about you. Call on the Lord when they stab you in the back. Call on the Lord when the money runs out. Call on the Lord when you own the sick bed. I don't want to say, call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. And when you will, oh yes, you will. When you call on the Lord will. I said the Lord will. The Lord will give you an answer. Amen. Amen.